This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to Raheem and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
There's a deep drive into right center field. Off the bat of Pete Crow Armstrong. This ball's going to leave the yard. A home run for PCA.
Wonderful to see success.
And it's wonderful to see Pete Crow Armstrong hit one deep into right field.
Yeah,
second deck. Second deck and second homer of the game for Pete Crow Armstrong.
Love to hear Pat and Ron talk about Cubs baseball and give us calls like that here on The Score. This is Raheem and Harris, your midday show on The Score. Mark Grody is in for Marshall Harris. And not only have I enjoyed Mark Grody's presence, but every time I bring up an idea, not only do you match me, you raise it.
I see your idea and I raise it, man.
And I love it because together, do you know what that makes?
Chemistry?
A team.
Oh my God, we just became a team. We just became a team. Oh.
On our first Cubs Monday.
It just happened. Oh my, yes, our first Cubs Monday.
Welcome to Chicago.
Shock caller.
I do like that song. So let's go back to Saturday, where I feel like you and I were both in taking a lot of the post-game show from what was really just a fun game to watch. At that point, the Cubs had taken the first two games of the series against the Brewers. As we talked about, great pitching performance from Ben Brown the day before. The offense went to match it often and early in that game. They followed up the 6-2 win on Saturday. That got us thinking not only about Jose Quintana, which we will talk about a little later in the show, but also just the performances that we had seen. I felt like there was a lot of good post-game sound that was up for discussion. Jameson Taillon, again, coming through. He's 2-1, 6 innings on the day. He only gave up 3 hits, 2 earned runs. He had 5 strikeouts and a single walk. And given this Cubs team and the walks, too, that was a great thing to see. So Taillon had a lot to say about just his approach against right-handed batters, and I thought it was worth sharing. This is the beginning of Sexy Baseball Sound Off. Mm.
I mean, I feel pretty comfortable with, like, just the package already. It's, like, what I want to do. So it's, like, no secret. It's a lot of four seams, cutters, and sliders. And then it just comes down to execution. I feel like maybe in the past I was a little bit cloudy on what I wanted to do to lefties and righties, and now I have a pretty clear idea of, like, this is our A attack plan. Here's what we want to do, and then we adjust off of that when we need to. I thought my spin tonight was just okay, and I still got some pretty good results just by mixing and blending it all.
Sexy, anyone?
But it is, though, when you hear him talk about, he's got so many pitches, and what he's able to do with them, I think, always stands to be discussed. There was a time a couple years ago where I thought he was throwing that sweeper too much. You know, when the sweeper first came out, I felt like it was negatively affecting his slider. Now that's a pitch he's leaned into more. Now you hear him game plan for what he's doing right now against right-handed batters, and it's making it all make sense. He's so adjustable in that way.
He's so self-aware at this point in his career. I think that his self-awareness has probably helped him and hurt him throughout his career, because he does sound like a guy who is in his own head, who's willing to admit when things go wrong. So that's not always good. I was talking during the pre-show meeting that it's like Braxton Jones, who wants to tell you about his weaknesses and things that go wrong. So he's sort of doing it for his own therapy. But yeah, man, like, I tend to think that at this point in his career, Jameson Taillon is who he is. He can give you some really good starts, and all of a sudden he'll do it. I mean, like a typical number three starter in Major League Baseball. But he has showed up now in maybe two of the biggest games of the year for the Cubs, or I should say against really good opponents. Against Philadelphia was an even better start, where he goes 7 innings and allows 1 run.
Right.
Then he follows it up with this. That's not always what he's done in his career, where he's followed up a great start with another great start, and it's right on time.
Well, not only is it right on time, but when he's needed to be depended on, whether it was this season or last season, he's also been that person. And he's has had his fair share of struggles. You know, I especially think about his first season where the Cubs paid a lot of money for him at the time, respective to his talent,
sure,
and given his market for his services. And we were wondering if that was the beginning of the end for him pitching-wise. And instead, you're seeing the opposite of that, whether it was last year or now this year, what you're seeing now. He's the type of guy who, if he has a hiccup, it's not going to last him very long.
Yeah.
So I appreciated him just talking about what he's adjusting to and how he's making all of this work for him. I feel like that is that was very valid to the conversation when you're trying to figure out the success of this team and where it's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, it's hugely important, no doubt about
it. It was not just that. It was just how that whole game came together for me on Saturday. You know, you're only using three pitchers. Tyone goes six. Merriweather comes into the game, clean inning. And then Brad Keller throws two, and then that's your ball game. Like, I'll take that all day.
I'll also take PCA hitting a three-run homer off Jose Quintana. And you know what the best part of the game on Saturday was, don't you? My favorite part of the game on Saturday, Justin Damn Turner with a two-out RBI single. Justin Turner! It's so funny because we're at the point in the Justin Turner career where when people are asked about Justin Turner, they go automatically to, well, he's a really good mentor. Everybody in the locker room loves him. The veterans love him. The rookies love him. He's a great guy. The fans love him. No. We need two-out RBI hits from you, Justin Turner. We need you to play a little bit of infield right now. Enough with the whole good locker room guy stuff.
I mean, yes, and based on how they paid him. You know, it's $5
million. $5
million. That's not the vet minimum last time I checked.
Right.
And they told us about this. And the way they're actively using him, the way they're actively trying to platoon he and Michael Bush, who we know brings a lot offensively.
Granny.
And there have been times where Craig Counsell has defaulted to Justin Turner's defense as well. You know, there have been key times where he's defaulted to his defense instead of having Bush's bat as a pinch hitting option or in the lineup. So if that's the case, then it has to be more than just
locker room guy. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Bad locker room guys are horrid, but that's not going to last, man. That's like, you got to keep doing that. Loved seeing it. I think Turner knew how big that moment was. So good for him on that day.
His average is now up to 167.
Okay.
I hate that. I selectively use average in discussions, but yeah. Unfortunately, it might indicate what we've been working with so far. Only good things can happen for him after the month of April as far as being at the plate is concerned.
That's right. That's right. Are you ready for PCA? Can I raise you a PCA now?
Yes. Okay. As we continue our sexy baseball sound off?
Yes. Sexy baseball sound off. All right. Let me give you a few things on PCA here that I thought were outstanding. You might have seen this too. Shout out to the Marquee Sports Network. They came up with some great numbers here on PCA. First of all, number one, he's the only Cub in the last 125 seasons with 9 homers, 21 RBIs, and 6 stolen bases over a 17-game span. So that's a pretty cool nugget that Marquee was able to dig up. Here's another one from them. And this one matters more. The first 17 games for PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, Pete as he likes to be called, 197 batting average, 0 home runs, 258 slug. His K rate was 23.3%. Hard hit rate, 34%.
Oof.
And, Layla, are you ready for this?
Yes.
In his last 17 games, a 343 average, 9 homers, 866 slug, a K rate of 17.1, hard hit rate of 47.4%. And so,
that will work.
That will work. So I ask PCA the question that I have asked many Cubs reporters and Cubs insiders, including Bruce Levine. I remember asking, I think he was the most recent person that I asked about PCA. And the question they ask is, who is this guy? We know that he's a good outfielder. We know he's an excellent base stealer. Even though yesterday, my God, William Contreras may have made the best defensive play of the entire series by gunning down PCA. Sometimes you just got to say, wow, that's just a great throw.
The Contreras brothers have been inspired by Yadier Molina, who you famously never stole a base on.
Yeah.
I feel like that is
a sick throw.
It's definitely... help their repertoire.
Oh, if you appreciate the art of the throw down to second, it's one of the best I've ever seen, to be honest with you. Watch William Contreras throw
okay,
out PCA.
Hawk.
Anywho, so I've always asked, like, who is this guy? PCA, I ask you, who are you, man?
Yeah, no, those are misses, you know. I think, I mean, I'm just trying to stay the big part of the field. A lot of the times when you go up and you see what happens in my last at bat. So, I don't know who I am as an offensive player just yet, but the goal stays the same, and that's just getting on base and being able to make stuff happen.
I don't know who I am as an offensive player yet. That's the right answer. I love that it answered that way, because guess what? Nobody else knows who he's going to be. And I know, like, a lot of people are now starting to say it's legitimate because he's gotten some national shine when the ESPN game recently, that he was the story. I'd imagine on Apple, because I was watching the game with the sound down at a sushi place on Friday, so I would imagine that they
Wait a second. Yeah. You were sneaking watching the game at a sushi spot?
Yeah.
What's your go-to role?
Were you supposed to be...
Tornado.
Were you supposed to be focused on the person or persons at the dinner?
No. It was a friend. It was my dear, dear friend, Lisa. We're just friends.
Okay.
That's right.
Does she think that?
No, she does. Absolutely. 100% she thinks that. Yes.
I had to ask.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
So was she like, hey, what's distracting you? And you're like, nothing.
No, she was into it too.
The phone in your pocket.
She is a sports fan as well. So we were watching everything. NBA, the Cub, with the Sox on that night.
The Sock.
The Sock, yeah. We were watching all of it. But
Sox had a great weekend. That was a no-doubter of a win for them on Friday.
Yeah, well, and they came back from down 4-1 in the fifth yesterday. That's pretty impressive.
And then won, thanks to weather and the force.
Yeah, I don't know who any of their players are, but it's pretty cool.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I know a few of them. But PCA doesn't know who he is yet. I don't know who he is yet. I know this about PCA. I know this. He's not swinging for singles anymore. He's not just trying to put the ball in play anymore. He's swinging for home runs at this point. And I guess good. And he's still swinging at everything. I guess good. But I think eventually, like, if he goes into a slump, that's when they'll make the adjustments. Right now, I think that the Cubs are enabling him in a good way and saying, you be you. Not just with the blue hair and the pimp and stuff and just all the PCA-ness. I think that they are telling PCA, be you at the plate, too. It's not ideal. It's not always ideal. You're not going to be hitting leadoff with that approach. But be you.
Well, and if it ain't broke, lead off batter-wise or lineup-wise, do not fix it.
Exactly.
In fact, it was Elise Menneker, I believe, or was it? It was either Elise or Taylor. I think it was Taylor because it was during the game, during the series. Talked about PCA's viewpoint on Ian Happ being so important where he is in their lineup right now. And if everybody seemingly is happy with where they are in this lineup because it is producing, then the last thing you do is want to mess with it. I feel like in this case, when we're talking about PCA swinging for the fences, I don't think that's what we're seeing.
Okay.
I think this is a function of timing. He's getting power out of his swing because he is waiting that tiny, tiny, tiny amount of time longer to let that ball come to him so he can help let his bat generate the power.
I think he's swinging for home runs. I think he loves the home runs.
I think he loves them too.
Yeah.
But I think he, like, for example, Kyle Tucker, you know exactly what pitch is going to generate a home run out of him. You know, if it's middle in, you know.
Yeah.
But when it comes to PCA, I don't see that right now. You know, some of the balls are low. They're bad balls, okay, so to speak.
Yeah, he does hit a lot of bad balls. By the way, do you agree with this text here? Sushi is more important than baseball, says the Sox fan who's boycotting his team.
I think that's something you are welcome to submit